This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. People across the country who get their health insurance from the Affordable Care Act marketplace, sometimes called Obamacare, are likely facing some sticker shock during the open enrollment period that opened earlier this month and lasts through mid-December. To help us understand this, we're joined by St. Louis Public Radio health reporter Sarah Fentem. Sarah, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Sarah, let's start with the big picture here. What's driving these premium increases, not only in the St. Louis area, but across the nation?
Okay, so I see your big picture question, and I'm going to make it even bigger question, which is, what is the ACA marketplace and who actually uses the ACA marketplace? Because I think if you don't use it, if you get insurance through your like employer, it can be something that feels a little bit ephemeral.
Right.
And so just to be clear of like what exactly we're talking about, the ACA marketplace is when you hear about healthcare.gov, some states, including Illinois this year, have their own kind of like marketplace shop where you put in all your information and you can buy health insurance if you don't get it through your employer. So we're looking at a lot of people who are gig workers, a lot of people who maybe work in the service industry who don't have benefits, and people who are freelancers who own their own businesses. And so people who don't get sort of health insurance through their job, or if you don't apply for Medicaid, if you don't qualify for any kind of government subsidized health care, this is where you are going to get health insurance. It's kind of like a big online shop. Mm-hmm. So with that out of the way, when you look at the prices on healthcare.gov, for a lot of people, they're going to be going up by a little to a lot this year, obviously depending on how much you make. And that's for a lot of reasons. There isn't just one. A lot of people I talk to were like, oh, it's because of the GLP-1s are so expensive. And that's part of it. But I think the big answer to why is healthcare or health insurance being so expensive this year is that healthcare is getting more expensive. Mm-hmm. And so all of the things that affect how expensive, you know, like a car is, for example, that affects healthcare as well. Things like tariffs, financial uncertainty, that's affecting health providers. And so that's one thing. You're also looking at changes to other insurance programs. I'm thinking particularly of Medicaid, which a lot of health providers are really dependent on to help pay for their healthcare. And so when you're looking at a potential drop in Medicaid patients, you're looking at a potential rise in healthcare costs. Mm-hmm. So all of those things put together mean that premiums are going up for people who buy independent health plans, so, or individual health plans.
Right. And insofar as those individual health plans are concerned, ACA marketplace premiums, they have been in the news a lot because of a disagreement over subsidies that was happening between Democrats and Republicans, and it was the main reason for the government shutdown that ended just last night. So, Sarah, what was the specific policy proposal at the heart or the core of this disagreement?
Right, and if you're not used to talking about health insurance, all of these terms can kind of make your head spin a little bit. Mm. And so a subsidy, and again, these are at the, like you said, these were at the heart of the government shutdown and the disagreements that were going on in Washington. Subsidies are help that the insurance or that the United States government gives to individual marketplace customers to help pay for their premiums. That's sort of the sticker price, the cost of that you pay every month. And so it was subsidies that make buying health insurance on the open marketplace cost less. And it's the amount of government kicks in to make your premium, you know, instead of $500, it's $300 a month. And during the pandemic, Congress increased the share the government paid in to make premiums more affordable. And it was both for people who were already kind of that were already they were already getting those subsidies. But another thing is it also made new customers eligible for those subsidies, people that make about 400% of the federal poverty level or more. And so you're looking at like middle class people who make around $60,000 for a household of one were all of a sudden eligible for these this help to get individual plans. That program expires at the end of this year. And Democrats in Congress wanted to extend those. You've probably heard them called enhanced subsidies. Democrats wanted those extended again. But it turns out that as of last night, there's nothing in sort of the plan that costs that passed last night that helps people. Let me start over. Yeah. The bill that ended the shutdown did not include anything for those enhanced subsidies. There's a potential discussion about it before the end of the year, mm-hmm. potentially, but we'll see what happens.
So things are still up in the air.
Somewhat, it looks, you know, if you ask an expert about it, they would probably say getting these subsidies, at least for this next year, is looking somewhat unlikely, mm-hmm. depending on what happens in Washington.
And I think the way that you've laid out what each of these terms means is very helpful, because as you said, for those who are maybe not familiar with what these terms are, that they can be head spinning. There are so many of them. But when it comes to the money itself, I mean, how much more affordable or less expensive did subsidies make marketplace insurance for people?
It depends on who you are, where you live, what healthcare you need, and what your plan level is. And so, but as a whole, these subsidies could bring premiums down for people for hundreds of dollars each month, mm-hmm. especially if you're a person, again, who's kind of making that higher level of income with these extended or enhanced subsidies. You would be getting a lot of help that you weren't used to getting when you bought a health insurance plan. And as a result, we've seen a lot of people sign up for these ACA plans that didn't before, particularly in Missouri. It's really interesting that people, as they come off Medicaid, as Medicaid enrollment in Missouri has dropped, we've seen enrollment in the ACA plans increase, which indicates that people who aren't on Medicaid are like actually able to buy these plans if they don't qualify for Medicaid anymore. And so people are using them. And I think the fact that you've seen enrollment in the ACA subsidies since that law passed during the pandemic shows that these subsidies have made plans more affordable for people, and they are buying into them.
Mm-hmm. As far as numbers go, how many people enroll in individual marketplace plans, Sarah, in Missouri and Illinois, you know, to localize what we've been mm-hmm. talking about?
It's really interesting. It's kind of a similar number in both states, which you would expect Illinois to be a lot more. But 417,000 use individual plans in Missouri, and then 465,000 in Illinois, and that's for 2025. According to KFF.
Mm, that's a lot of people.
It is a lot of people. Yeah. If you look at what is the population of Missouri? 6 million. And so you're looking at, I don't know, maybe 1 in 12. Don't trust my math. But it's interesting. And like I said, these are people that are not eligible for Medicaid or Medicare and don't work at a place that gives them benefits. Mm-hmm. But it's people who, you know, like they might run a roofing business or something, or they might be a, you know, freelance writer. I know a ton of people like that who are, you know, a tattoo artist, someone like that who just like doesn't get health insurance through their work.
So if we drill down a little bit further, we are often talking about premiums. So what are people going to be paying? What are they going to expect, or what should they expect to pay in premiums now?
I'm going to repeat myself because it's always just, it depends, mm-hmm. Again. But generally speaking, what Health Wonks use is something called a benchmark plan, which is kind of like a middle-of-the-road, silver-level plan. And so for that plan in Missouri, A benchmark plan in the state will cost around $600 a month on average. Again, that's according to KFF, who runs all these numbers. And that's a 24% cost increase compared with the year before. And that's more than $100 more a month, which, and again, these costs are based on a lot of factors. There's where you live, how many insurance companies are offering marketplace plans. But $100 a month could be a lot, especially when you're looking at cost increases in food, utilities, a lot of other, you know, people are uncertain about their jobs. And so $100 increase in your monthly health premium, I'm pretty sure even if that's the average, a lot of people are not looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. And I've talked to many people who've helped sign up customers for these plans, and they say they're seeing a lot of families face premium increases of $200 to $300 more a month. And that's, again, a lot, especially when you're looking at other costs going up as well.
Mm-hmm. And that includes deductibles going up too?
So I can't speak particularly about deductibles, just again, because we're using wonky insurance terms for some people. Deductibles are what a person pays before their insurance kicks in. And I can't speak to individual plans or whether the average price of deductibles is going up. I'm sure there's some researcher out there that could answer that. But what will likely happen is some customers who can't afford a solid plan with a reasonable deductible like they have in the past, they could be forced to get a lower cost plan that has a super high deductible just to have insurance because it's the only one they can afford. Mm-hmm. And so we talk about the plan levels. You hear people talk about bronze, silver, gold. The ACA marketplace even offers a platinum plan. I want to know who's getting that one. It's like the Cadillac plan. And so,
Generally, what is the difference between each of those levels?
Yeah, so basically, the higher the level, the lower the deductible on average is going to be, and the less you will have to pay sort of out of pocket.
Right.
So if you go to the doctor and you have a bronze plan, you might need to pay like, you know, 70% copay versus a platinum plan where you might have like a 10% copay or platinum customers reach out to me. What's that like? So basically it's you're paying less out of the gate when you pay a monthly premium, but when you actually have to go in for care, it will likely cost more. And so that's a trade-off, and a lot of people are doing that like healthcare calculus right now, mm-hmm. which is how at risk am I of needing this kind of care? Mm-hmm. And can I afford a lower cost plan that's a little bit more, that's a little less secure for me?
Yeah.
And, you know, if you've ever had to choose a health plan, even at your employer, I know at UM System, we get the choices, and you're just like, oh man, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to get sick. I don't think I'm going to need, you know.
You hope you don't, right?
It's a lot of guessing game unless you have a chronic condition. Mm-hmm. But even then, you know, a chronic condition isn't super predictable. And so it's kind of a guessing game.
Yeah. So we did laugh a little bit about the platinum level, but I think that gets to what you were saying mm-hmm. about those who have bought these plans at those levels, that it is important for us to talk with people who are actually experiencing these things in real life.
Yes.
And on that note, we're going to take a very quick break. But when we come back, we will continue this conversation. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
Support comes from the St. Louis Public Library Foundation. During these challenging times, free access to digital resources is a necessity. You can help our community stay connected. Support your St. Louis Public Library at slpl.org.
Welcome back. Let's return to our conversation about changes in ACA marketplace health plans and premiums and their real-life effects on people in Missouri and Illinois. We're talking with Sarah Fentum, who is STLPR's health reporter. Before the break, Sarah, you had mentioned something about freelance reporters, freelance writers, people who are sort of in that limbo when it comes to qualifying for health insurance through ACA, those who don't have health insurance through their employers, and the importance of hearing from real people and what their experiences are. So one of the people you spoke with is someone named Jackie Dana. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit more.
So Jackie Dana, if anybody reads Unseen St. Louis, she writes the Unseen St. Louis blog.
Yes.
But she's also a freelance writer, you know, in the way that a lot of freelancers do, picks up different jobs that are sometimes regular, sometimes not. And so, but she's interesting in that her income, like she's successful, and her income hovers around that kind of 400% of the federal poverty level that was newly eligible for this premium help because of that pandemic era legislation. And she needs expensive diabetes coverage. Having health insurance isn't necessarily an option for her, or it's not something that she can decide to forego, essentially. She needs medication every month that costs a lot of money. And so she's looking at all of these plans, and she is, again, right on that line. Mm-hmm. And so she was worried that she would eventually make slightly over where you're eligible for that premium help and end up having to pay a lot more in a premium because mm-hmm. she doesn't apply for those enhanced subsidies anymore. And so this is just like a very difficult situation for her. And she's having, to do a lot of healthcare calculus and think, okay, well, if I make this much, and then I'll have to pay this much. And so she's dealing with that right now.
In some ways, it is a disincentive for freelancers or small businesses to make more money, because I have a side gig that's bringing in extra money than I didn't have last year. But most of that money, if things come out in the wash like I think they might, almost all of that extra money is going to be eaten up by my health insurance premium.
Mm-hmm. And so she ended up deciding, again, this isn't a thing that she can go without. And so she ended up getting a more expensive plan, but opting not to use those tax premiums, because there's a chance that if she made more money, she would just have to repay them, essentially. Mm-hmm. And she was honest, like, she's lucky that she was able to make that decision. A lot of people aren't able to do that. But her situation also shows that there are people who can't go with a lower level plan because they have these ongoing health conditions, and they need a plan where they can see their specialist. They need a plan where their medication is included. Mm-hmm. And so, again, a lot of people are doing the same thing that she's doing right now, which is, you know, comparing and trying to figure out, okay, well, if I opt for this and it's this much more expensive out of the gate, like, is this medication going to be less? And so it's just, there's a lot of people in transition that have to switch because there have been so many changes to those tax credits and those subsidies.
The director of Missouri's Department of Commerce and Insurance is Angela Nelson, and she's commented about what's going on. Sarah, what did she have to say?
Mm-hmm. What I'm hearing from a lot of officials, and not just Ms. Nelson, is that do not go without any insurance. Even if you have to get sort of the most bare bones plan, she's saying the most important thing is to get coverage, because like we were talking about earlier in the hour, nobody, you know, wants to plan on getting sick. No one wants to plan on needing expensive health insurance or needing to you know, I mean, my dad got hit by a car. Luckily, he's fine now. But last year, he wasn't expecting to have to spend, you know, a month in a rehab facility. And again, these are things that insurance helps pay for. And if you don't have insurance, it can be the difference between maybe paying, you know, a ridiculous amount or a ludicrously ridiculous amount that's kind of like that will, you know, put you into debt for, you know, the rest of your life, essentially. And so if you have to choose, just choose something, is what she said.
You also spoke with Georgia Rogers, and this person was talking with you about the mental stuff that's going on. I mean, we're talking about healthcare, but what's happening is also very much, it's causing a great deal of stress, right?
100%. And Georgia Rogers is a health navigator. She helps people sign up for insurance. She works with Novus Health here in Missouri. And she says that not only are these changes with the subsidies making people confused, the shutdown has meant that a lot of people think that potentially the marketplace isn't enrolling people. People have wanted to wait to see what happens with the shutdown. And so here's what she said.
People are just really afraid to make a decision, and they're pushing making a decision off until they absolutely have to at the last moment, because they want to make sure what the marketplace says is what it's going to cost.
Mm-hmm. And so you're seeing the shutdown. People are thinking, oh, well, you know, well, now the shutdown's over now, so that hopefully won't be such an issue anymore. But people were sitting and waiting. And the I don't know if I've mentioned this, the open enrollment period ends on December 15th for people who want coverage to start on the 1st of January. And so we're coming up on about a month left. And as we've spoken about this, you can tell that it can be very confusing. You might need to call your medical providers. You might need to call your doctor and say, hey, are you going to take this coverage if I change it? And so what I would say and what Georgia said was you kind of got to get on it just in case, because it can be a lot of work to sign up for these plans.
And to make very clear, mental health care is health care. I did not mean to suggest that those are different in any
way. I think everyone agrees on that.
You also have covered what is happening in Illinois, and you've done some reporting on that. What stands out there?
It's really interesting in southern Illinois, because I was looking at congressional districts where the potential premium increases are going up the most. And southern Illinois was one of the regions where people are seeing this potentially really, really big increase in their healthcare costs, I'm looking at something like 300 to 500% more. And, you know, you're seeing those costs go up a lot across the country. But in southern Illinois and some other sort of pockets of the United States, they're going up a lot. And so I called a couple people and I asked, what's going on? Why is this? And it just, again, there's a lot of factors involved. It's who is offering plans. It's how many providers there are. It's how many, people are there, how much they make. And so for a couple that's making, you know, maybe $85K a year, again, like a nice middle class salary, but not wealthy by any means, they could see their premiums go up by something like more than 500%. And it's a matter of geography a lot of times, and your household size and how much you make.
As we wrap here, Sarah, are there stories that you're going to be watching for as the enrollment period continues, and are there perspectives that you really want to hear, especially from people who are facing these things in real life?
I think what I'm going to be watching is whether people just opt to go without insurance at all. Because like I said, people are trying to make these decisions, and we've seen with the SNAP freeze that once one domino falls in your budget, you have, like, a lot of dominoes will fall. And so if you have to choose between food and insurance, I mean, I feel like you'd probably choose food, especially if you have kids. And so if, you know, I'm really interested in talking to people who are having to make those decisions, who have health care that they need covered, but they're worried that the only plan they can afford won't cover it. Again, that like those mental calculations that a lot of people are making right now.
And quickly, how can people reach you?
SFENTEM at STLPR.org, or just search Sarah Fentem. I am the only one, as far as I can tell, in St. Louis,
okay.
At least.
Sarah Fentem is STLPR's health reporter. Sarah, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Today's episode was produced by our executive producer, Alex Hoyer.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.